You're listening to Maine's Political Pulse. I'm Ari Snyder, joined by Maine Public's chief political correspondent Steve Missler and State House correspondent Kevin Miller. This week, we're going to catch up on the latest from the State House, where the legislature is racing toward the end of the session. There's a lot going on, but we're going to focus on a few highlights, starting with a conflict between Democrats and Republicans over a red flag bill that will appear as a ballot measure in November. Steve, I understand that this proposal, which is designed to remove guns from dangerous people, has already qualified for the ballot. So why are lawmakers even fighting about it at all?
Yeah, Ari, so the red flag referendum is a citizens initiative, meaning activists organized to put this proposal before voters. And in Maine, that's sometimes how laws are made. But once these proposals qualify for the ballot, the legislature has a chance to ratify it and bypass the referendum altogether. And that means it gets treated like any other bill. Now, lawmakers almost never vote on these. They just put the proposal through the legislative paces, including holding a public hearing, and then let voters have the final say. In this case, however, Democrats who control the legislature don't seem to want to hold a public hearing at all. And that has Republicans and gun rights groups hopping mad, and for two reasons. First, there's a law that requires a public hearing on these initiatives. And second, they see the public hearing as a venue to highlight opposition to this particular referendum.
Okay, so Kevin, how is this conflict playing out in the legislature?
Well, this came to a head around 10:30 Thursday night when Republicans tried and failed to use a series of parliamentary maneuvers to basically force the issue. It went exactly as everyone had expected. The Democrats who control the chamber rejected all of those attempts in party line votes. But I'd say the Republicans' bigger goal here was to get their objectives in these votes into the official public record, because this seems all but certain to end up in court. The Sportsman's Alliance of Maine, which is the state's largest and most politically connected gun owners' rights group, as well as Gun Owners of Maine and the NRA, they've all said that they'll likely sue the legislature to force a public hearing. And I have to say, the law that Steve just talked about is very clear here. It says the legislature has to hold a public hearing unless two-thirds of both the House and the Senate vote to waive that requirement. Those votes have not happened. And even if the votes were held, they wouldn't succeed because Democrats don't have two-thirds majorities.
Steve, you mentioned earlier that gun rights groups really do want this hearing, but legislative hearings aren't usually all that riveting. So why are these groups so adamant?
Well, you're right about the hearings, Ari. I mean, these things are pretty long and the testimony can be really repetitive. And the committee venue isn't great for, say, cutting a political ad, even though they are filmed or streamed. But I think what the gun rights groups see here is an opportunity to bring what they say is a broad coalition of interest groups to oppose this red flag law, including potentially Governor Janet Mills, who has already spoken against it. She used her budget address earlier this year to say that this is a bad idea and that it would undermine Maine's yellow flag law, which she, of course, helped craft with some of these same gun rights groups. So it seems as though they see this public hearing as an opportunity to showcase this opposition. And, you know, without that, they're going to have to take their arguments to the airwaves, and they're going to do that against a gun safety organization that hasn't shown a lot of money yet for the upcoming referendum, but it probably will, and it probably will be well-funded, as gun safety measures have in the past. They've always outspent gun rights groups heavily, including a ballot referendum in 2016 that would have expanded background checks. So I think that's really the state of play here.
All right, so sticking with gun rights for a second, the legislature last year passed a three-day waiting period for gun purchases. That was a response to the Lewiston mass shootings. But that law is being challenged by gun rights groups in court. Kevin, what's the latest there?
Yeah, Ari, so two of those groups that I just mentioned, the Sportsman's Alliance of Maine and the NRA, they're also involved in the lawsuit challenging the three-day or the 72-hour waiting period. The case is in the First Circuit Court of Appeals in Boston right now. But I think what's most interesting about this case is the potential national implications, because about a dozen other states also impose waiting periods on gun buyers. And there is some talk that this Maine case could be the one that lands in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. We know that other states are paying attention to this fight here in Maine because the attorneys general from 46 other states, plus Washington, D.C., have signed on to legal briefs filed with the appellate court. So literally almost every other state, 19 states are siding with Maine and the right to impose waiting periods. And then 27 state AGs are saying Maine went too far and is violating its residents' Second Amendment rights. So that case is still playing out at this point.
You know, I'll just jump in real quick to say that this national interest in the lawsuit has had an effect on a couple of bills that would have repealed the waiting period law this session in the Maine legislature. Initially, those proposals were a priority for Republicans, but they've gone along with carrying them over until next year. And that's probably because of the lawsuit and this feeling that this lawsuit has a chance to get to the U.S. Supreme Court. That lawsuit wouldn't get there if Maine ended up repealing the law because plaintiffs wouldn't have standing anymore. So that's why those bills that would have repealed the waiting period are getting carried over next year.
There's a theme here about politics and lawsuits, so let's do one more. Representative Laurel Libby and her legal fight to end her censure by Democrats in the Maine House. This sanction was a response to Libby criticizing a transgender high school student in a social media post. Democrats argued that was effectively targeting a minor for harassment and threats. The censure had prohibited Libby from speaking or voting during floor debates until she apologized, but she filed a lawsuit to overturn it. Steve, the Supreme Court recently stepped in to temporarily restore Libby's voting rights, so how does that affect the lawsuit overall?
Well, Ari, the First Circuit Court of Appeals on Thursday held oral arguments in the lawsuit, and it was pretty clear that the High Court's emergency order loomed large. While that order was temporary, as you mentioned, a majority issued it because it believes Libby is likely to succeed, at least on the voting rights aspect of the censure. While that technically still needs to be adjudicated by the appellate court, most of the judge's questions centered on whether her right to speak during debates should be restored. And at one point, Maine Assistant Attorney General Jonathan Bolton, who was representing House Speaker Ryan Fecteau as the defendant in this case, tried to persuade the panel to evaluate both aspects of the censure because the Supreme Court's order wasn't argued or explained, and that's because it came through what's known as the emergency or shadow docket, not the court's regular docket where oral arguments are held and there's extended brief filings and etc. But at least one judge wasn't buying it. He basically said the issue of Libby's voting rights had been settled by the High Court. So not sure if the other judges disagree because so few of them spoke during oral arguments, but either way, it sure looks like the High Court's intervention here is having an effect on the trajectory of the lawsuit, which initially looked like it wasn't going very well for Libby at all. She had lost two preliminary rulings, one by a federal judge and the other by the same appellate court.
Okay, so let's jump back to the legislature now, which could adjourn by June 18th, but they still have a lot of work to do. Kevin, can you tick off some of the major items that still need to get resolved?
Well, the biggest unresolved political issue is over transgender athletes. There are several bills that would bring the state into compliance with the Trump administration's policy banning transgender athletes from girls and women's sports. This will be a huge fight when it hits the House and Senate floors. And it's really not clear at this point how the votes will shake out. The other big issue is part two of the state budget. Democrats put off a whole lot of thorny issues when they passed a baseline budget in the spring to basically keep the government open. For instance, Governor Janet Mills had proposed increasing the cigarette tax by a dollar a pack and taxing streaming services like Netflix and Spotify. She had also proposed saving money by putting more restrictions on general assistance eligibility and canceling cost of living adjustments for direct care workers. These were all controversial proposals. But the governor said, look, state finances are flattening, Medicaid costs are rising, the flood of federal money is gone under Trump, so really it's time to make some tough budget decisions. But her fellow Democrats in the legislature haven't made those decisions yet, and they've got less than 2 weeks to do it.
And that was Maine Public's chief political correspondent Steve Missler and State House correspondent Kevin Miller. Thanks for joining us for Maine's Political Pulse. You can also read the Political Pulse newsletter. Find it online at mainepublic.org/pulse. Our music is by Rob Holt. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again soon on Maine's Political Pulse.